Lord, your greatness, your mercy. We're so thankful for what you do for us, through us, and Lord, even with us. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Pray that you bless our time this afternoon. We'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who has a song they'd like to choose tonight? This afternoon? Tonight? I don't know. It's 1:30. We'll call it tonight. Yes, sir. Oh, you got to have to pick the number. I can't guess them. I mean, I could just try, but it wouldn't go very far. 374. 374. And there's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save.
Thank you.
every week. Vince, usually on these afternoon we choose songs, and I think there's people that just try to see how much fun they can have. Amen. Amen. If we're going to have this, we ought to be able to have fun here. Amen. At least in this part. All right, someone over here. Who's? 245. Got to work. Amen. Okay, we got some questions from our letter from the Rays. We're going to explain to them how we're going to handle the new booklets, too. Or are we doing that later? Okay, here's a family question. What is it that they need before they can set up their internet and their cell phone plan? Yes, you got it. There you go. Nice job. You're welcome. Okay, here's a spirituality question. There was an unexpected blessing that he kept talking about. What was that all about, this unexpected blessing? Happened almost immediately. Yep. The visitor, and they're going to bring more people. Yep. You don't have your... Spirituality. Where is it there?
There you go. Here's another spirituality question. He had some visitors, of course, for their Bible study, and he was uncertain about their salvation. Because what were they confusing with salvation? Was he back in the back? Yep, it was baptism. He doesn't have a sticker thing. Want to stamp your hand?
I don't have my old
alien. You should get it. There you go. That'll get you in a lot of places.
You can get free with that one.
One more. This is a church question. They need something so he can prepare hymn sheets and Bible study materials. I think I saw Jonathan or printer. Yeah, still need a printer. This is going to be worth more. There you go. All right, thank you all.
I want to just remind you, and I've been talking about this, but for those that have their booklets and the extra pages, I'll let our visitors know what we have missionary trading cards. So if they get three questions correct through the course of time, they get the trading card, but the missionary has some details about them on there, so that's what we do. But we've added new missionaries in there because we've taken some more on. So we've got the new booklets printed. So if you will turn your booklet in with your pages then and with your name on it, Brother John will transfer those stamps over. So if you'll leave them here, if you'll just put them up here, not right now, but if you put them up here on the table after the service, I'll try to remind you to do that. And then we will have the opportunity to do that this week, and then he'll pass it back to you next week. And if you forgot to bring yours, shame on you. But I think that's the new deal. If they don't get it, they've got to come and get the hand of shame. Now, by the way, Andrew, he raised his hand for everyone. Good job. Good job. He would have knocked it out by now. I mean, we do have some competitive trivia. You know, it's all in the letter, but it's just our way of drawing people to our missionaries. We really want to keep that. We do every service, we do something. We read about them. We get in their letters or we pray for them. And so we try to keep that for our folks. Remember, folks, to get you one of those wristbands. And so I already got one. Get you another one. Let's don't leave any back there. Or that's going to be the response. Find your Bible tonight, and thank you, Lord. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29 tonight. Tonight, this afternoon. Yeah, we don't really do good when we break to this afternoon, right? It's like that terminology isn't part of like what you say with preaching, but it's just this afternoon. So I'm gonna. Jeremiah chapter 29, if you're able to stand, if you'd stand with me as soon as you find your place. Jeremiah, it's in the Old Testament. If you just learned that, just look on somebody else's. Because it'll take you a little while. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands." You think this is about a marriage? Wedding? Weekend? No. It says, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. Verse 7. "And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." Let's pray together. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time, thankful for your word, thankful for the the messages, the truth, the direction you give us, Lord, that you've given in really in antiquated days, and Lord, you've made it so fresh for us. The principles are still true, and so Lord, I pray that you'd help us this afternoon to receive from your word that which would help us to reflect you. And Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So the book of Jeremiah was written during Israel's highest time in their history, right? No. It was really during very dark times, and maybe some of the darkest times in the history of Judah. But God's people had turned from the Lord over and over again. That's what they did. Over and over again they turned. And Jeremiah had been now sent to warn them of the coming judgment. That's what he's doing. He's warning them of the coming judgment, the judgment that did come through Babylon, right? And so Jerusalem was attacked. The nation was weakened, and many of the people were carried away from their home into captivity. And we find the 70 years in captivity. We've preached through that in the past already, some of those things. But Jeremiah 29 is written to those captives. They're not people. These were people living in the land that they would not have chosen. Right? They were under a government that they didn't love. And they were in circumstances that they could not easily change. Right? So what was happening is there were some false prophets that were telling them that their trouble would soon be over. We're almost at the end of it. It's going to be fine. Right? I just preached here recently. Quit telling people everything's going to be okay. We don't know if everything's going to be okay. Don't tell them, just pray and everything's going to be okay. Just trust God and everything's going to be okay. Everything may not be okay here if you're saved eventually, but the idea is, hey, you know, just do this and everything's going to work out fine for you and everything's going to be wonderful. Well, we've seen that book of Job, right? They said that. No, if you'll just repent of the sin that you didn't do, then everything's going to be okay. That's not the case. And so the false prophets are coming and telling them. But God gave Jeremiah a different message. His message really is this. They were not to live in bitterness. They were not to live in idleness. I don't mean idle, but idle, right? They weren't to live in constant resentment. They were to live faithfully where God had placed them. So we're not Israel. The United States of America is not the replacement for Israel. Amen? Okay. We're not Israel. We're not in Babylon. Amen. Sometimes it feels like that. Right? But we're not that. And America is not our promised land. Okay? So, but the principles that we see here, what we're going to see here, is still important for us. God's people must learn how to live faithfully in the land where He's placed them. Okay? So, as we think about our nation this weekend, and I want us to think, Jeremiah 29 helps us strike, I believe it can help us strike a right balance. We can be thankful for our country without making it our final hope. Amen? We can be thankful. Don't feel bad about being thankful for America. You say, well, preacher, we're not. I know, but I'm trying to teach you something tonight, this afternoon, that's going to help, maybe help us in what we're doing, but also help us in explaining it to other people. Okay? And so we can be thankful for our country without making it our final hope. We can grieve over sin of our nation without becoming bitter. And we can remember that our true citizenship is in heaven. While still seeking the good of the place
where God has allowed us to live. Okay, we can do both. We can be a citizen in heaven while still seeking the good of this place. So the people in Jeremiah 29 were not living in ideal national circumstances. They were exiles. Yet God told them not to withdraw, not to become bitter, not to live uselessly, and not to stop caring about the place where they were currently living. So we're citizens of heaven, but we should still seek the good of the land where God's placed us. Okay, point number one is this. God has placed us where we are. God has placed us. Look again at verse 4. Verse 4, he says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives," watch what he says here, "whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." Listen, they were in Babylon because of judgment. Right? This was judgment on them. This was judgment for their sin. It was judgment for them continuing turning back from God, not responding to the prophets, just continued going that way. But here's the thing. They were not outside of God's providence. And that's the thing we can see. We can be judged by God for our sin and yet still not be outside of His providence. I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'm so thankful that even when I'm stupid, right? You're like, that's a lot. No, but even when I am not what I perfectly should be, right? It doesn't mean God has thrown me away, even though He's bringing... Listen, we discipline our children to correct them. Hopefully. I mean, hopefully it's not because we're angry with them. Kid, I hate that kid. You know, come on. That's, if you're like that, get right with God, okay? But here's the thing. So God, even though there's some judgment, they were still inside of God's providence. God was still doing something in their life. The Lord is saying this right here. He said, I've caused this. I've caused this. This is what God planned. That means that we're not to live as though, they were not to live as though their location was meaningless. Okay. Where they were and what God had was doing with them right then in that place had a purpose, right? Had a reason. I mean, I want to just clear a little spot and deal with that for a little while, right? I mean, listen, God does some things in our life and we don't necessarily like it. I preach about this all the time. I say this all the time. I want everything to go my way all the time. I want my way to be the way, and I want God to let me have things my way all the time. Amen? I want everything to go good for me and never to go bad. What's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. Except for, that's not really where I grow and learn. Right? That's not where... I think about it like this. I think about it with children, I think, and how we deal with... You know, when we tell them... When we tell our kids yes, we're kind of rewarding them. We're rewarding them for maybe obedience. We're telling them yes. We're getting, letting them do something. We're rewarding them for, you know, asking politely, right? You know, give me a drink of water. It gets you nothing, right? You're gonna die of thirst with that, right? I'm kidding. But you're gonna get close. They're gonna think they are, right? But when they say, and then you look, and, you know, moms will be like, you know, they have that look of just like, oh, you know, dads will be like, dads don't have to do the look, they just, and all of a sudden kids melt, right? They're like, oh, no, okay, because they think, they know what's good. But moms will look at like, you didn't look at me, and they'll say, I mean, may I, super, really pretty nice, please. You know, then they kind of get all this thing, you're like, okay, they get something happens. And so, you know, yes is our reward for doing. No is correction to teach us something. Right? And so, listen, because we're in a place that's not exactly what we want in our life, it's something that, it's not, doesn't mean it's useless. Well, you know, things would be better if, you ever said that? Things would be better if I had a little bit more money. Have you ever been in a place that isn't true? if I just had a little bit more money to, I mean, I'm looking at flights to Sri Lanka right now. My wife and I are trying to go over work for this Bible translation project. I've been watching flights, watching it go up and down. And I've seen this flight. They're finally starting to get down. If I go through the Middle East to get shot at a little bit, but I could find a ticket there. Now it's kind of maybe about $1,200-$1,300. You're like, well, that's a lot. Well, no, that's pretty good. It's kind of getting down close to, and I was looking at it and just kind of looking at some things, or I could go to business class for $10,000. So I'm thinking about that. What I mean to say is this, I don't know if there's ever a time that more money wouldn't help. Right? But sometimes God puts us in a place. Some of the greatest testimonies of my life are when I was missing something and I had to trust God. Right, and so where we're at, don't treat it as though it's meaningless. What you're dealing with right now, don't treat it as it's meaningless. God had put them there for a purpose. So we're Americans by birth or by providence. God brought us some people, different things, or by God's ordering our lives and so forth. And man, we like to get bent out of shape. People that I don't want to get too political. I'm not trying to say it this way, but I'm just want to. We get bent out of shape people that come here illegally and do things underhanded, and we're like, well, they should just go the process. I agree. I think people should be legal and not lie. Amen? Amen? But you go and find out how the rest of the world lives, and you learn real quick why people do some things to try to make life better for the family, okay? I'm just saying, sometimes we can get all bent out of shape about some of these things, and we can get all worried about what's going on. And listen, I'm just telling you, God's, you know, I've been doing some of this genealogy stuff, you know, I give a little bit of my spit or something like that, send it in, I think that's what you did, and they tell you about, you know, all your DNA and family and all this stuff, you trace it back. It's interesting. And I realized some of my, you know, family, when they left, and so I'm curious nature, it's what I do, and I see something, and my family, they had came and they left in certain time periods that they left, and I'm like, why'd they leave then, you know? And you look at the economy was going, there was no hope, and they took their family from there, got on a boat probably with, you know, I don't know, but everything, and they came here and started over without welfare, you know what I'm saying? And they started this thing, and you're thinking, wow, I could be speaking another language and, you know, wishing I was living in America. You know, so by the grace of God, we are where we are, and here's this place God's ordered in our life. It doesn't make America our final home, but it does mean that we should think seriously about why God has placed us here. We should never confuse our earthly country with our eternal home, but neither should we treat the place God has put us as meaningless. So the second thing, point two, we're going to be quick this afternoon, maybe. We're starting that way, we'll see how it ends. God commands us to live faithfully where we are. Verse 5, he says, build ye houses. You know what that tells us? He said, you're going to be around for a while. Oh, maybe like a generation, right? You're going to build your houses, no, not tents. We're not, build your houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. This wasn't just for a generation. This was for generations. You're going to raise your grandkids here. He said, settle in. Okay? Listen, God did not tell them to sit in Babylon and do nothing. I hate this place. You ever heard people talk about that, where they live? I have heard that everywhere I've ever lived. This is the worst city ever. I've heard that everywhere. People hate, you know what people hate the most about where they live? What? The weather. It's funny, traveling the country as a missionary was so funny. No, listen. We have been to every place on the planet that has the worst weathers. Just ask them. No, our weather is, but it's a more humid hot than your hot. Oh. No. It's a dry heat. Dry heat. That's worse. Oh, because they said, but the cold is colder than the normal cold. It's a different cold. And it's funny. It's just funny. But you know the second thing? Traffic. Our traffic right here is the worst I've ever experienced. Last place we were, it was there. And then the last place it was there, it's just, you know, it's kind of, he told him, he said, don't sit there and do nothing. He told him to build, plant, to marry, raise families, and continue living faithfully. Listen, this wasn't just about, we're going to endure this on this ungodly place. No, he said, I want you to live faithfully there. Yeah, but I'm planning on something else. No, real soon. Real soon I'm going to be doing something. How soon? Well, these prophets said it's almost over. God said, we use this phrase. I think it's a good phrase. Bloom where you plant it. That's what God wants to do. He said, you're there, build, raise families, continue living faithfully. And here's the thing. I think what's happening here. Personal conflict. You ever kind of been mad at somebody because they did something mean? And I know I've heard of people doing that. I've heard of people doing that, right? And so you're kind of mad at them, and you've been mad at them for a while, and being angry is a lot of energy. And then you're like, you get tired, and you let down your guard, and you start being less mean to them. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden you're less mean, and all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, right, I'm mad. You know, you kind of this kind of thing, and we could get kind of caught into some of this thing, and we could say, if I'm nice to them and smile or don't frown at them, not even, but if I don't keep frowning at them, I'm going to be telling them that what they did is okay. We think like that. Okay, maybe you don't, I do. You know, I want to just, you know, and then because I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to be a little bit better at it, you know. You know, you try not to be that angry. And so you're like, but I want them to know that I'm okay with it. I hate that about me. You know what I mean? The flesh is just a jerk, you know. And that jerk is that guy in the mirror. Right? And you're like, why are you like that? Well, because it's not our fault. It's sin nature. Well, no, we choose to keep it. He said this. This was not adopting Babylon's sins to just dwell in there and build there and do the things. This was, listen, what he was talking about, faithful living in an imperfect land. Do you know where the perfect land here on earth is? Yeah, it's not here. And so if you are waiting for to be in the perfect place, you're going to keep moving. And you know, the whole saying is, if you find a perfect place, stay away from it. Leave it alone, right? Because we'll mess it up. We say it about churches. But so here's the thing. We're not Israel living in Babylon. Okay, that's clear. But the principle here fits us well. We should build homes. We should train children. We should work honestly. Okay? Serve our neighbors. Teach truth. Be useful citizens. Okay. All right. So now I got to park here a little bit. Because if there's not one of these, then I got to just, I'm like, okay, you're not there. So here's the thing. Because your silence is, we're being disciplined. No, it just says we need to make sure we understand this. I think we get confused about this. We think I'm a citizen of heaven. Not here. I got no time for America. I don't even like patriotism. Right? You know what I'm saying? I don't even want to do that. And I don't even want to be involved in the things that's going on here. And we're just so, we can get so heavenly minded that we become no earthly good. But the fact is, my ministry right now isn't in heaven. My citizenship is. But my ministry is here among an imperfect people. And I'm telling you, I don't like that. I want perfect people. You know, people like you say things to, and they just say, yes, Pastor, I'm going to do that. And they just be faithful. You know what I mean? Isn't that awesome? You say, hey, here's what we're going to do, and here's what you ought to do to be right with God. And they say, I'm doing that from here on out. I don't do that either. But I want other people to. Isn't that something how we are? We're mixed up. Don't laugh too much because we'll never get off that. Okay. So, yeah. My family's like, oh, they started laughing. It's over. No. So, listen, be useful citizens. Live peaceably. And keep our testimony. Listen, the best thing a Christian can do for his country is not to first wave the flag of freedom, but to live faithfully before God in the place that God has put them. It's a different deal altogether. Listen, what a mockery it is for a believer to speak of their love for their nation while at the same time refuse to follow the Lord whom they say they believe in. Yeah, I love America. You know, let me tell you about how great America is. And we want to mock the Trump deranged syndrome. You know, those people there, you know, this guy, you know, and we're the ones, and yet all along we're not the one following the God that we say we love. Whereas one who is living for Christ, being the salt and light for their countrymen, is what I like to think of as, I like to think of it this way, as following the biblical principle of patriotism. You say, is there really a biblical principle of patriotism? I'd like to think of it that way. This kind of biblical principle that says, and I find this in the Apostle Paul. I mean, you know, the Apostle Paul seemed to love his countrymen and wanted to lay down his life. He seemed to have this overwhelming desire to reach his people. And so this is, but his desire for his people was by living for Jesus Christ and being the salt and light to them. So here's the third thing. God calls us to seek the peace of the land. Okay, verse 7. And seek the peace of the city wherewith I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Okay, the word peace here means, it's really talking about the city's overall good. Right? It's talking about the good of the city. A settled condition. Not just a lack of war, but a settled, overall good, a condition where people can live faithfully without constant turmoil. Pray for the peace of in this kind of thing. God's people were not to desire Babylon's destruction. That's what we're seeing here. God didn't tell them, while you're there, why don't you pray down fire from heaven on where you're living? Wouldn't it be great if their armies were defeated and we could then be set free? Oh, no, that's going to happen. No, that's going to happen. But not until the very time that God said it was going to happen. And he said, no, I don't want you. Get this. God, here's what God's saying. Don't you worry about that. I will do that when it's time. That's not your burden. Your burden isn't to cast this down. Your burden is actually to seek the peace of that place. See, what happens is when we get into that, we begin to seek the destruction in a bitter, personal way. What I mean by that is they were to seek its peace. Look, I don't think we're a people here in this room this afternoon that would think this way about the United States today. I don't think we're thinking that. But there are some that would hope for national failure to make a point to the leadership that we disagree with. It's to the point of, I hope we go through another recession so I can say to the other party, see, we have a better idea. And then, because this happens, the shift goes to the other side of the aisle. And they do the same thing to us. And we're like, I can't believe they want to do that. They don't even love the country. But then when they're in there, we're like, I hope they fail so that we can get our guy back in there. So I didn't think we were going to go that way. I thought we was going to be, pro-good stuff. I'm just saying, folks, this is kind of, we can get ourselves caught in the same. I think what we're saying, God said, don't get into that. Don't get into this thing of like wanting to direct a change in leadership at any cost. Right. We ought to never be that way. We ought to be real cautious of getting into political diatribe that actually makes us sound so patriotically destitute that our answer is in who's running the government.
Right.
We've done? We have taken the salt that we ought to be and we've thrown it down to be tread underfoot. It's what we're doing when we do that. We've made it so, I'm not saying we, I'm saying when we ought not be, to where politics and who's running the government, listen folks, I know there's some people that seem to be more towards things of God than against. But I mentioned this Wednesday night, if the people that, if there's somebody there, we as a nation had voted them there. So, well, I didn't vote them there. Well, you ain't the loudest voice. But he is. Right? We can still trust him. So I want to reiterate a good patriotic balance. We can love our country without worshiping it. Right? We can grieve over its sins without hating it. We can be thankful for its blessings without pretending like it's perfect. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? We can be thankful. We can be thankful for what God's done here without saying, well, you just think America's perfect. No. It's don't let people push you into something that you didn't say. Okay, I better stop saying God bless America. Why? Come on, we can be thankful for God's blessings without thinking this nation's perfect. We can seek its peace without making it our final hope. So I want to help. I want to help us this afternoon, not just to understand how we ought to live here, but how to explain to others why we choose to be a patriot as well as love God. Amen? You'll see. We can be a patriot. We can still love the place and seek its peace, even without it being our final hope. Folks, well, how do you do that? Well, this is what God wants us to do. We find that's what he wanted Israel to do in Babylon. Christian patriotism should never be blind loyalty. And it should never be bitter contempt. Neither side of it. It should be grateful. It should be humble. Prayerful concern for the land where God has placed us. All these things. So the fourth thing. God commands us to pray for the land. It's what he says there in verse 7. Seek the peace of the city, whether I've caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof you shall have peace. So, we ought to move from our national reflection to our actual Christian responsibility. Okay, turn over to 1 Timothy with me, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Y'all know these verses, but I want you to see them anyway. Let's look at it together. We're about to wrap it up. He says, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, a lot of people complain about the condition of the country. Right? I mean, other people, not me, but people like, right? Instead of saying, but few of them pray for it. A lot of people talk about the leaders, but few pray for them. I'm on a kind of a shaky ground, I see, because I find these things come up and it becomes kind of platitudes. Like when we do want to start praying for it, we've got to pray for this. It's kind of like people say, Lord, I pray for all the missionaries in the world. That's a blessing. All the missionaries in the world. Let me sprinkle that all over. You know, because that's how God wants. God, I pray for everybody. That's a child's prayer. God, I pray for everybody. Okay, that's nice. What does that even mean? Have you ever had a prayer that you prayed for everybody and you saw God answer that? Yeah, God, he just blessed everybody. It's hard with that because somebody's praying for rain and somebody's praying for no rain. Somebody is cursed. Combative prayer. I'm not talking about the kind of prayer that says, hey, I want us to get together here and let's put it on our prayer list, right? At church, pray for all of America. What does that even mean, right? Just pray for America. That, you know, usually it's interesting when we start praying about that, we end up, it often is about pray that America would stop being bad. That's not really what pray for peace is all about. It's really trying to find peace so that we may live this kind of life, a peaceable life, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So a lot of people are angry about the direction of the land. But fewer are asking God to use them to be a faithful witness in it. A complaining Christian, listen, what I'm going to say here, I'm just about done here. Well, done with the message until I get to the conclusion. Okay, a complaining Christian may sound informed, but a praying Christian is actually obeying God. So here's the conclusion. We're going to conclude a little bit different this afternoon than I normally do. I want us, on this 250th birthday of America, to give her a gift. We'll be taking up an offering for America, and I'm an American, so no. Okay. Sorry. Not a gift of money. I want to give a gift, not a gift of money, not a gift of property, but the kind of gift that a body of believers have to give a nation. I want us to give the gift of prayer. John, David, can you guys come up here? I want you to take these and each take one side and pass those out, give one to everybody. I want us to have a gift of prayer for our nation, praying for those in authority, as we find there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, is the admonition is this, you know, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for kings and for all that are in authority, right? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I got five things. I started kind of thinking about things. I had a list of about 30 things. You ain't going to remember 30 things. I'm not going to remember 30 things. Brother Bob and I are glad if we can remember two things. All right? So, two. So, I got five things here that I've come up with and put it together. First of all, wisdom. And we find in James 1:5, ask God to give leaders understanding, restraint, and good judgment. Why? Because leaders make decisions that affect homes, churches, and communities. I want you to understand, when I'm asked, I want you to grab a hold of this thought with me. This is just me giving us something, okay? There's the biblical principles and all these things, but we're not asking here, when we're asking for wisdom, we're not asking that they'd get saved. What? Shouldn't we do that? Yeah, but that's not what this is. Pray for their wisdom. Can God use ungodly lost people? Can God use them to, in a wise way, to bless the people, bless the land? We find that actually when they left Babylon. Right? Second thing, peace and order. Ask God to use leadership to preserve quiet and peaceable conditions. Why? Because peace gives room for God's people to live in godliness and honesty. You know what we're asking? God, would you, what I'm asking, God, would you use this leadership to bring in this quiet and peaceable condition? May not be getting Christian law passed. You understand what I'm saying here? But God, would you use them to bring in peaceful situations so that I can have the ability to live and give me room to live godly and holy, and that I can be the one that gets the gospel to people. No, I'm not asking them to pass Christian legislation. I'm asking God to give a peaceful environment so that I can be the one, because I think it's us that are the salt and the light.
That's right. That's right.
Number three, the good of the land. Ask God to give the land enough stability for families and churches to live faithfully. Why? Jeremiah told the captives to pray for the city where he had placed them. Okay, Jeremiah, we find that there. Pray for the good of the land. Listen, stability. God, give us stability. Maybe that is economy. Maybe even, God, even while the Democrats are in there. When would you give us success? Well, no, if they get success, they're going to stay in there. Can you trust God on that thing? I'm not sure I can, but I want to work on that. Amen? Pray for the good of the land. Four, hearts turned by God. Ask God to turn the hearts of rulers according to His will. Why? Because no leader is beyond the reach of the Lord's hand. Find that over in Proverbs 21:1. Listen, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand, right? By the way, that doesn't mean whether they're going to be saved or not. That's not what we're talking about here. We're asking about praying for those in authority that we can live a quiet and peaceful life. Right? That God can do what lobbyists can't. Right? Listen, God can do what letters to our senator cannot do. So let's ask God to turn the hearts turned by God. And then number five, proper authority. Ask God to use authority to restrain evil and protect good. Civil authority has a God-given purpose and must not be a terror to good works. We find in Romans 13, 3 and 4. We're asking God, you say, well, Pastor, I thought we were supposed to pray for them to be saved. I don't want to get into that theology right now. Y'all don't want to stay here that long. But I don't see that we're to pray for somebody. You know, what are we praying for somebody to be saved? We're praying, God, would you save them? And can you see Jesus back there over here like this? I did that already. Right? Well, could you just give a little bit more blood? He said, I gave it all already. What are we asking? God, would you save them? He said, I did. Maybe we can ask for their heart to be turned and this kind of thing. I pray for. I think what the Apostle Paul pray for us with us that we'd have an open door, effectual door, right? A door of an opportunity and this kind of thing. Listen, you know the problem with a lot of the thing is we pray for. I'm gonna wrap this up probably pretty quick. We pray for God to do that work in somebody's life. And then we sit idle and don't actually do the part that God told us to do. Right? And we all find ourselves guilty of that. And listen, let's not be as those that complain without taking action. So let's seek the peace of the land, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. You want peace? Yeah, we do want peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yeah, that ain't happening until Jesus comes back. So put this thing in your Bible. Keep that with you. Say, I'm not sure how to deal with this. Is that the rule? That is the law. That's exactly how it's supposed to be done. No, but this is something maybe help us. Based on some scripture, let's pray. Let's use this. Let's give America a gift. Amen. And let's, that gift is us doing what God has told us to do. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would help us in this endeavor. Lord, you've instructed us what to do and how to, Lord, even with Israel, how they were supposed to relate in the land. You've showed us in the New Testament how we're supposed to pray and deal with our leaders and those in authority. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, that we might commit together as individuals, not necessarily just in a corporate way, but as individuals, we'd each really find our place as a true patriot, one that seeks to follow you, and that we might make a difference in our land. And Father, I pray that you would use us now, speak to hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart, you can come, take this time now. Maybe say, I want to start this right now. I want to come. There's some places, the steps down to the altar, there's seats here. Come and say, God, I want to pray. God, I want to take a hold of this. And I want to give America what you've given us to give. Don't leave here and say, Pastor said we're not supposed to pray for people to get saved. I want them folks to get saved. I want every one of them up there to get saved. Just like I want my neighbors to get saved. No, in the same exact way that those souls count for a soul the same. And so I want the, and not because they're in some place up there. Can I say this? And I'm already done preaching, but part B. God can use them, and we could be used, and God can bring them even if they don't get saved. So it's not only if they get saved, that's the only way. No, there's some things here. And so let's trust that. Listen, we have a gift for you. If you haven't got one, we gave these out Wednesday night. And so we got some of these. Are they back there? Yeah, they're back there. These are bags, tote bags. I'm going to open one up. They worked really hard to get that tied up. But we got some bags, and so you can put your groceries in there, take that to Aldi's, and you don't have to buy a bag. Right? For those of you going back out to California, you're going to save a bunch of money. And so we want you to have one of those, and maybe you, as you look at that, it'll and you carry that, it'll remind you to pray for those in authority on that. Hey, appreciate y'all being here. Let's have a good rest of your day, and those that like to help pick up behind, we appreciate you. All right.